Praise the Lord. I know some of you would like to ask questions. Except I've said anything that confuses anybody. No, I don't like anybody to be confused. I know I have spoken everything. But is there anybody, we know they understand quickly? You know they understand quickly. Oh yeah, come.
That is just to explain more on the Luke 6 chapter verse 30.
Yes.
Just to explain well, you didn't...
I did. What about it? Okay, the other aspect. He's listening to me. I hung something there. I hung. The one that says, he that taketh away your cloak from you. Can you read it? Verse 30, Luke chapter 6. Okay, there was something I said, I hung there. 6 verse 30. Read it, please.
Give to everyone.
Listen very well, listen very well.
Who this ask is, of you.
This is very important.
And from he who takes away your goods, do not ask them back.
That is, listen, from my understanding of that scripture, I've learned something here. Since the Bible says, if I borrow you something, maybe money, borrow you money, cloth, anything, and it's time for you to bring back, and you are not able to bring it back, I should not go and disturb you and kill you and disturb you until, you know, the Bible is against it. He said, leave him to go. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Always observe this thing. Those of us who are givers, take note from today. When a child of God or a needy person has a need, the commonest language that we use is, please borrow me 10,000 naira. Because if you tell yourself, give me 5,000, you're not going to give up. So he'll tell you, borrow me. I'll pay you in 2 months' time. He may not have any hope, but hoping against hope that he will have the money. Then, when the time comes, he is not able to pay back. You disturb and so tell the man with the fear to come to church. Because if he meet you, he no send a wahala. Now, but watch it. Anytime you give a needy person, like that 10,000 naira you've given him, watch the period between when you gave him and the time he said he will pay back. You will notice that from nowhere, here and here, here and here, you may have gotten 10 times that 10,000 naira from sources that you didn't even work for. Watch it. If you have never experienced it, watch. I didn't read this anywhere. This is practical. God ministered this to me. So that is enough for you to even call the person, even if he's bringing it back to you, to say, no, I dash you, carry go. Because his God has paid you back. You've collected, you've refused to look at the blessings you received within that period. Is that 10,000 naira? The 100,000 you received within the last 1 month, now that 10,000 naira you own there. You're a wicked person. That's how God looks at you. Now, so how do I guide against that? This is it. Any money that you will give to somebody, that if the person does not pay you, if the person does not pay you, that it will pain you. When the person comes, don't give. Do you understand me? Do you understand? Any money that you will give somebody, and if the person does not pay you back, you are finished. Just like somebody gave you money to keep for him, and somebody say, come, you are so kind hearted. He said, no, be me get them, just make I keep them. Then you carry give the person. If the person doesn't bring it back, do you have where you will get it to give back to the person? If you don't have, don't give. The money where they are, no, be me get them. Now, so some person get them. I can't give you. No matter how you cry rich, I can't give you. God knows why. Praise the Lord. That is how you would treat. That is the meaning of that scripture. And I mean, just that. Let me not talk too much. What do you want to say?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, my question is about the first fruits.
Yep.
A pastor said, your first salary, everything is the first fruit, you give it to God. Now the question is, which one is the first fruit? Is it the whole salary?
I have just told you that pastor is lying. There's nothing like that in the scripture that supports that. Nothing like that.
My second question is this. A confession was made that most of all these beggars on the street, not all of them are genuine. Some of them are witchcraft. So is it every beggar you see on the street that needs your help that you give?
When I say beggar, I am not telling you to go to the street and begin to look for baby alas. Do you understand? I say needy people. There are too many people, poor people around you. They don't have to come to you. You have eyes. You are seeing their condition. To me, that is the kind of help I prefer to somebody coming to tell me his problem. Because there's nothing for me to use to confirm whether you are lying or you are saying the truth. So, when you come to me, there must be a means of me confirming that your story is true if I'm in position to help you. If not, don't be composed and say you must be the one who gives. There are other poor people around. There are people that you are, there are people you see all around. A sister is always coming to church with a particular dress. You don't have to wait for her to come and tell you I need dress before you carry some other clothes in your own house, out of your own clothes, and come and give her. You have helped the poor. That's what I'm saying. You are seeing somebody, you are talking like joke, you see somebody there. He finished fasting in your prayer group. Everybody they go chop. He go lie down there in belay flat. What thing happen? He say, hey, you no go understand. Nobody say, no one break, no money to break me. But, I mean, you see that there's a need. You say, come, we go chop together. You go and eat together. You have helped the poor. In fact, when you finish breaking down all the strength, when you get, now you go first pray for. For giving food to eat. It's true. So you have to know it. Yes?
Yes, sir. Based on your statement now, I'm just confused why, but I know you are saying the truth. Like the very church that I attend that is in Akwanga is a living faith. And each time they present communion to us, every Wednesday, we use zobo and bread. Now, amen.
What's your question?
I believe every part of the scriptures that I've been privileged there to like learn. Now, if I live here now, I might see opportunity to like maybe take such since I've had it there from you now.
What is the benefit of knowledge? If now you have known the truth and you are still going back to join them to do that. I thought you want to ask me, can you go back to Winners Akwanga and correct them? They will never be corrected until Oyedepo teaches otherwise. That is what they are taught, and that is what their denomination stands for. But I am telling you now that everything that pertains to communion, we are doing it in remembrance of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So that thing you are using must have something to speak of the blood. Must have something to speak of the body, the flesh of Jesus Christ. It must be unleavened. That one is clear. It's a commandment in the Bible. But the wine cannot be zobo and cannot be just any red liquid, very sweet. It must contain alcohol. That wine, what preserves it is the alcohol there. Alcohol is the preservative element there. And what preserves us until the day of redemption, when you give your life to Christ, is the Holy Ghost. And that is the life that is in the flesh, in the blood of Jesus Christ. Leviticus chapter 17 says that they were forbidden from eating blood because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And in chapter 10 of Romans chapter 10. Is it Romans or Hebrews chapter 10? Verse 4. He said, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to affect the conscience of the sinner, the sacrificial lamb. Why? There is nothing in the blood of that animal that the sinner brought. So, that can affect the conscience, that can stop that sinner from committing sin. But there is something in the blood of Jesus Christ that once you come under that sacrifice, that power strikes you. It will turn a sinner to a saint. That power is when you receive it. They received it on the day of Pentecost and they were dancing there like drunk. They thought they were drunk. That effect, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the excitement you receive is a type of what alcohol does when you drink it. It is a preservative. So it must have alcohol. And that is not a license for a Christian to go to Diabolo. You are not entitled to drink alcohol except on the Lord's table like this. Yes?
Praise the Lord. Pastor, the issue of vow. If somebody make a vow when she was young, or when he's young, that when he get married, the first fruit will be dedicated to God.
First what?
The first fruit of that person, the first child.
The first child.
Yes. And when that person now got married, he or she, and no child, is it that the devil is tempting that person, or God is trying to...
What is your problem, the vow or the child?
Is the vow working against that person? Because the person, somebody asked me that question.
No, vow can... To start with, vow or no vow, there is already a commandment of God. Among the children of God, male or female, none shall be barren. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 14 says so. None shall be barren. He has already given us a commandment. Go and be fruitful. Replenish the earth. So that one is already standard. No child of God should be barren. You only made that vow. So you should be concerned that you don't have the opportunity to fulfill that vow. So God will wait. And sometimes God himself will do it like that. If you study this God very well. Because you may have thought that immediately you enter marriage, charm the first one you get belly, fast, that first year, may give God your own. Then so that you can now begin to have your own. So God can decide before that child will come, it will be a precious child. Child where you wait, where? Before you get and then you now see whether you fulfill your vow. Begin where you wait for how many years? Then you see whether you fulfill the vow. That is when God can delay it like that. So don't be devil. Devil can't stop blessing of God. Yes.
Church, praise the Lord. My question is going like this. Like now, as somebody want to do business for a business partner, when you contributed your money to that business partner and that business partner took your money and go and do the business for his own, then when you are and keep you nothing, then after you are chasing him up and down to give you your money back, he refused. When that person got a problem without your money and the money is not the person didn't have that money again, can you leave that money for that person?
If leaving him does not hurt you in any way, the truth is this. You see, we are Christians. When somebody is no more in position to fulfill his obligation to pay you back what he owes you, you should sit down and consider, is it true the person is not in position to? You know, you should wait and be praying that the person will be restored and you pay you back. It's a different thing if you know the person is making the money and he doesn't want to give you. Then, of course, you will end up a police station.
Because the reason why I ask this question now, this thing happened to me. And later, the person started sick. Their parents, they said that I go to ritual, go and put his name. Why I couldn't do that? And later, again, he brought one of her sisters, who will be a lawyer in Abuja. to come to me. I said that I don't have any lawyer. It's only God is my lawyer.
No, I think I'm more interested in giving the principal than solving the case between you and your creditor. Okay, I've just given you the principle that you use to settle any matter, whether with him or with any other person later in life. If the person is not in position to pay you back, find out why. With a Christian spirit, you can start praying together with him so that his expectation will come to pass and give you back your money.
Yes, sir.
But if he has the money and you are sure he has, he doesn't want to pay, carry EFCC plus Special Fraud Unit plus Custom plus Police plus Civil Defense, Air Force, Army, Navy, all after him till you get your money. Yes?
Praise the Lord, church. Pastor, my question goes like this. I have two questions. The first question is, why is it that after praying, having faith, and putting hope in God, that is when a bigger temptation will come to you? And my second question is, you're owing debts before you came to serve God, and you pray to God to favor you to pay those debts. But instead, God will give you tangible something to help yourself. But those people you're owing thinks you have the money and you don't want to pay them, and they keep on sending you text message consigning you won't do well, you won't do this and all that. Sorry, sir.
So what's your question?
My question is, I am bothered. My question is, I am bothered. One, the faith I have concerning my prayers, and
what you are saying is, why is God not doing something concerning the debt?
Yes, sir.
Despite your prayer.
Yes, sir.
That you are not in prison now. Is it not God? You are owing somebody and you are still sleeping in your house. Is it not God?
It's God.
So can't you see God? We fail to see God. When you don't acknowledge the one God is doing now, you won't do further. So the fact that you are still at peace, you are sleeping in your house, you are not in the police cell or inside prison yard, you know, at least that means God has stepped into the matter. One day you will wake up and you will just be like dream. Everything just appear. It's over.
Amen. Then the second question is, after praying, having faith and everything, instead of you receiving testimony, temptations and troubles comes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It depends. We cannot make a doctrine of that, because every one of us, there's a peculiarity around us, because the Bible says we are called according to his purpose. When you become a Christian, whatever you go through, whatever you will be, you know, whatever you will be is determined by what you go through.
Yes, sir.
So sometimes God uses it. You know, the trial of our faith. Can I give you a scripture?
Yes.
Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It will produce patience. And patience, experience. And experience will produce hope. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. In James chapter 1, this is the way James put it in verse 2 also. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God depending on his purpose in your life, will allow you to go through certain experiences for the purpose he has for you. And remember, if you are going to walk with God, you must be patient. But patience can only be, there must be something to give you hope. And the process of making you to get hope is through trials. Trials will allow you to go through certain difficulties. That when you finish, when next time you see any of those things come to you, you will not believe, you will not have hope that you will go through it. After all, it has happened before, and I went through it. That is how God schools us.
Sorry, sir, I'm true.
Yes.
Just this one more question. In the book of Mark, James and the disciples, they said to Jesus that, can Jesus do them a favor by giving to them all they asked from him? And Jesus said that they should ask what they needed. And they said that, can they sit by the right hand of, by the other one said by his right hand, and the other said by his left hand. And he, the Almighty Savior, said that he is not the one to give, but it is prepared. He said it is prepared for those who it is for. Sorry.
Yes. Correct. Bible. What's your question?
My question there is, a lot of people serve God, but by the temptations and everything, they fall aside and they come back again. Does it mean that God is not by their side, or?
Oh, the question I thought you want to ask is not even what you're asking. Praise God. Sister, what determines your position when we get to heaven? Sitting down on the right hand and on the left hand. It was not actually James and his brother that asked, but the mother that came to Jesus to ask for the children, so that the one can sit here and one can sit on the other side. When we get to heaven, there is nothing like one sitting on the right hand, one sitting on the left hand. We will all be in heaven. And when you get there, we will come back. We are going to receive reward when we get there. In the divine timetable we taught here, we stay there for 7 years after the rapture, celebrating our victory over the Antichrist and over this flesh. We get there, he will crown us. And the crown we receive will depend upon what you did on earth here with the talent that he gave you. And those talents are the talents in Luke chapter 19 or Matthew chapter 25. Now, you will give account. So now you will now come to earth with him to rule in the earth, on the earth here for 1,000 years. That crown determines the area you will rule. So, now you were on earth here, today you fall, tomorrow you wake up. Next tomorrow you fall, tomorrow you wake up. Now, it simply shows you were not a serious Christian, and your crown that you receive, if you get there at all, will also reflect how serious you were when you were on earth here. Thank you very much.
I make a covenant,
yes,
to God that every month I will be paying amount to a church.
Yes.
But within a period of time, maybe what I expect it doesn't get to me.
Yes.
I could not be able to absorb the amount.
Yes.
Is it a sin since when I...
Sometimes when we make vow, we should make it reasonably. Qualify the vow. Qualify by saying, as long as I have this income, I will be given this amount out. And when the income doesn't come, you are no more obligated, because your vow is tied to the income you receive. So since I don't have it, God, say, I don't get. If you say I get, I go give you what I promise you. I don't get, so I don't give you. And God no go vex. Simple. So always qualify the vow you make. Yes, sister?
God bless you, sir.
Yes.
I have two questions to ask. First one is, if the only money you have is your tithe, probably you're coming to church and then you have your transport money aside, and then the only other money you have is your tithe, can you, and someone should come to you, the person is in need, and probably that amount the person should ask you for, is that your tithe? Can you give the person that tithe? Is it proper?
Praise the Lord. I've explained that before. Hallelujah. I've explained that before. Thank you for reminding me. Who owns that tithe? Who? God. Does God spend money? You have to understand it like that first. If all you have is your tithe that you are taking to church, you don't have any other money anywhere, only that amount you have, and somebody suddenly comes and says, see, 3 days now, I never chop. 3 days now, I never do this. My children are this. And the problem is, you can see this person is in problem. But the only thing you have is your tithe. You should be sensitive enough to know that a child of God is in need. Cry to God throughout last night. And God knows that his money is with you. And send his child to come to you. You should be sensitive enough to give that person that tithe. You have paid your tithe.
Thank you, sir. The second question, sir.
But let me quickly add. Amen. The setting is always such that you will know this is God. You will know that this is God. Somebody just came and dashed me 20,000 naira. And I just collect and put for pocket. And somebody just stopped me. They stopped me immediately. I was about going out. And daddy. I say, what happened? He says, see. They want carry and go police. What happened? He said, because in the hole. What happened? Say na 20,000 naira. 20,000 naira, now they want carry go police. Then I remember saying na 20,000. So I just did like this. I said, take, they go. He said, daddy, what? I said, they go, and I know it's 20,000 naira. He said, fine. But when I was going out, then I just said, see how God works. You see? See how God works. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I was locked up in Ikoyi prison, small amount of money, they lock people there 2 years, 3 years. 200 naira. Bail. 500 naira. 1,000. What is this? Then they think I'll be big man. Then they'll be coming to be disturbing me. That's awesome. So one day I went on the knees. And I said, if you want to use me to release these people, then let the money come now. That day, after that prayer, somebody just came, a friend from the U.S., came there to see me and said, I don't say you are here. I said, let me come and see you. I don't have naira. Can I give you a dollar here? I said, bring her now. I've forgotten how much, but some amount of dollars. When I collected it immediately, my family was outside there. They needed money too. But here am I. As I collected it, finished. Then I just remembered the prayer I prayed. I said, oh, this money is for the release of those people. And immediately I sent somebody to change the money, and I helped about six of them or so. The next day they were all released, with leaving me with no kobo left. You must be sensitive enough. Don't say na tight, me na tight. Say na tight. Me, I don't want trouble with God. I know what. Do you know God? If God appear before you, will you identify him? Amen. Do you know that God can disguise like a human being and come to you, say you need help? Praise God. Can do that. Okay. What's the other one?
Sir, last year, when this prosperity week you were preaching and you said something about prayer not being able to change someone's, as per, if someone is in poverty, prayer, you have to work action.
Prayer not every person rich.
Yes, I accept that, sir. But I had a dream now, and in this dream, my mom was counting old Naira notes. And when I came into the room, she was like, I should not talk, that poverty, if poverty should hear me, we'll be in trouble. So as we're talking, a demon walked in. She was not like, I see now, that's poverty. And I prayed, and the demon left the house. It walked out of the house. So I was confused.
I say prayer alone cannot. You are not entitled to pray until you are following the principle. If not, what will you use to challenge that demon when it comes to devour your business? You should be able to say, Lord, I pay my tithes, so my business must be protected. You don't pay your tithes, then that demon comes, then you are saying, blood of Jesus, Holy Ghost fire. He will look you. He is known as the accuser of the brethren. He will quote for you why he cannot go. So prayer alone cannot do it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Anointing oil alone cannot do it. Mirror alone cannot do it. Padlock alone cannot do it. Yes?
Praise the Lord, church. My question is this issue of correct baptism. Praise the
Lord, yep.
Maybe somebody like Kumuyi, Deboye, and all these people, they happen to realize this thing now tomorrow, and they say they want to correct the baptism. What of the people they deceived? How would they go? Go have mercy on them or what? That's the first question. The second question is it only on the ground of fornication you should chase a woman out of your house? Because some women, you are living with them inside the house, they don't need they don't want the progress of the house. I have a friend who says he's not going to give, he's not going to be giving the wife enough money because the woman will go to native daughter and prepare a charm. So is it only on that ground you should chase her out, or we should? I need more clarifications on that. Thank you, sir.
See, brother. When it comes to issue of salvation, it is God's own business. Every seed of God, somehow, they must get to know the truth and do what they are expected to do for them to go to heaven. So if you say he deceived some people, there are some people that have been ordained to be deceived. But there are some that can never be deceived. God will lead them to the correct place, and they'll do the correct thing for the salvation of their soul. So don't be worried. It is God's own business.
Praise the Lord. What if my own father now, I've tried to offer him everything I could for him to come and do the correct baptism, and he refused? Is it that he's not, or is it that he's now among those that is ordained to be doomed? Because he gave back to me. So I need more highlights on that, sir.
Open your Bible, not with me. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 16. Let me read it. This is Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Jesus Christ was saying to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, including your father. Verse 16. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me talk out.
What about the woman?
Marriage. Give me microphone. Now, you say, is it only fornication?
I mean, when
that can make a man drive away his wife?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Matthew 19, I think verse 6, 7 or so, he said that you cannot put away your wife except it be for fornication.
And during that prior time of misbehaving, what do you do now?
Your friend, is he a Christian?
Yes.
And it's a shame for a Christian to get married in Christ and live that kind of marriage life. Something is wrong. But there is nothing in the Bible that allows you to put away your wife, except, like I said before, in my teaching on marriage and divorce, fornication or marriage in deceit. Marriage in deceit, that is, if you gave me an impression that made me to make my decision to marry you, and then after the marriage, you change completely contrary to what I thought you were. That is marriage in deceit. You will return to sender. Also, if there were certain confessions that you must make to one another, it's both ways. Like the man is impotent, I didn't tell the woman, for instance. Then after wedding, because he say he died. What happened? Why didn't you tell me? That is marriage in deceit. The woman can say back to sender.
Thank you, sir.
I never finished. Praise the Lord. If, for instance, maybe the woman had a child, or even the man had a child outside wedlock, now you are coming to marry, before that marriage you must confess it to one another. If you didn't tell him, the sister, you didn't tell him, and after marriage discover, say, you one, what do you call it? After one. You know, you don't say it, you discover it. Even if you discover it 10 years after, you have deceived him. He can put you away. But I am talking about Christian marriage because somebody watched this and sent me a text from one country that I have not made provision for forgiveness. I said, no, the person did not hear my message fully. I said, you must also know that if it is love that made you to marry that woman, the Bible says love covereth a multitude of sins. Even if you catch her with another man, love can make you forgive her if she repents and ask for forgiveness. So it's not that they go. If you say go, it means you didn't love her. You were looking for a way to send her away before. Now, a woman that is married to a man and does not subject herself, like the Bible says, to the man, certainly you'll be missing some benefits from the man. But that is not enough ground for you to put her away. It means she has a psychiatric case. It is for better, for worse. So you will stay and pray and counsel and make sure that demon leaves her. Because if after marriage, then she didn't misbehave like that, somebody maybe after that marriage wants to put her away. But so you should be spiritual enough to begin to fast and pray for her. If she slap you, go say, oh, I love you. Dali, I love you. If she bite you, go to hospital. Just say, honey, I love you. Then go to psychiatric hospital. Get Lagatin. Praise the Lord. If she discover that you are a mumu, she will leave you alone. God bless you. Yes, sister.
God bless you, sir. My question goes like this. In a case whereby you say we should...
Talk to the microphone.
We should bring her back to God and sow seed. What about in a case whereby a sister, maybe she doesn't do... She's not fully born again. She just came to the church and wanted to sow seed. And the seed is not a genuine seed. Maybe fornicated seed. Maybe she's a harlot. Can she sow that seed?
What did bring her to church?
She just came and want to join them and sow seed.
Not that she came to repent.
She have not repented.
She came to sow seed for her business to increase.
Okay, my second question is, sir.
You never answer me. prostitute can't sow seed. Next question.
Hello?
His second question is...
Hello? Okay.
Yes, hello? A call is coming in, yes? Kingsley Wachuku from Norway. Hello?
Okay. Praise the Lord, church. Yes. My question is... You said communion wine should not should have alcohol on it. Yeah? And my question is this. Holy water oil, you do bless. Alcohol to you said you can't raise it. The communion wine should have alcohol. Is to preserve the Holy Spirit or something like that. So I want to, that's my first question. My second question goes on the issue of necklace and earrings. Does it really make any difference? Like earrings and necklace and wedding ring. Should wedding ring be weird and earring and necklace should not be weird? So that's my question, sir. Can you please, sir, clarify me on those things? Thank you, sir.
God bless you. I hope you didn't join us late, because I took time to let you know why the wine must contain alcohol, because it is a type of the preservative power of the Holy Ghost that flowed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the wine must have some percentage of alcohol, and the bread must be without yeast. Yeast there is a type of sin, corruption, and Jesus Christ was without sin. That is why it is like that. So please, it is scriptural to have alcohol, like I've explained earlier, in the wine. Concerning jewelry and the rest, yes, earrings in the Bible is a symbol of a slave that refused freedom. And in this age, we are following a message. And through that message, the Lord spoke to us in this age that His daughters should not put on certain things. It includes those jewelries and those earrings. We are believers of that message that was vindicated beyond all reasonable doubt that is from God. And so many other scriptures we can show that will let a Christian woman not to pervert herself and then put away some of those things. Now your question is wedding ring. The wedding ring symbolizes something. The marriage there that we do, why we wear white cloth and all those dress we wear, every part of the bride puts on has a meaning spiritually concerning the marriage that is going on between Christ and His church. And the seal of the vow that you have exchanged, of the vow you have exchanged, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When the devil comes before any human being, he sees the Holy Ghost in you. He knows that you are a purchased possession. That's a no-go area. When a man marries a woman, he gives her a ring. She gives him also a ring. That ring reminds them every time of the vows they have exchanged with one another. And that ring also is a token of the love they have exchanged. So that is what that ring symbolizes. It is not fashion. Praise the Lord. And it is not compulsory anyway. Because after some time, You don't need the wedding ring before they will know you are married. Who will see an old man like me and say, I never marry? Should they look for a ring for my hand? But a young girl that just married, you need a ring to scare men away. Once they see that wedding ring on you, they know, say, there's a man that has paid a bride price. You go there, he'll kill you. He'll find his way somewhere. Unless the cause of untimely death is on him. Then he can go after a married woman. That's what the ring is all about. Thank you. Yes?
George, praise the Lord. Sir, God bless you, sir. There is something, the question that I want to ask concerning a vow. For example, now you made a vow, and later you found out that the place you made a vow, as if or not, the altar that you made a vow, the altar is polluted. Maybe some strange gods in the altar. Now, if you not fulfill the vow, will God hold you because you not fulfill the vow in that altar?
It depends on what the vow is all about. If you vow to do something for that church, you must go there no matter how polluted it is and drop it there and go your way. Leave God to judge them. You made a vow before you discovered it. Fulfill your own, carry your load, go. But if you say, I will do this for you, Lord, but you said it in the church there, it doesn't matter where you said it. You could have said it in your room. You could have said it in your office. Lord, I will do this for you. And you didn't say that with particular reference to that church. Then you can go anywhere else and fulfill it. It is unto the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. So, sir, please, I still have more one question.
Yes.
No, you have emphasized on that, but I want more classification.
Yes.
Concerning the issue of marriage. Now, what we are doing is prosperity week, but hello, there's something.
Let's take a call.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello, George. Hello.
Omodion Osas from Canada. Hello.
Hello. I'm calling from Canada. Omon. I want to thank God for your life, Pastor Alu. I thank God for your life, for the way God is using you massively in our generation. I have a contribution to contribute and a question to ask. The contribution I want to contribute is concerning the baptism of in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because many people are already confused right now. Jesus Christ says, by their fruits you shall know them. He did not say, by the interpretation of the scripture you shall know them. Right now, the four revelations are coming out about baptism. But once I want people to know, people that were baptized in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean they will not make heaven. They will make heaven. But now that the truth has come out, people should not start changing to do the right thing and believe the right thing. Because interpretation of scripture, the devil is using it to fight the church today. It's making pastors to fight pastors so that they will not have time for the kingdom of darkness. Our main focus should be to focus on the kingdom of darkness that is warning against the church. So baptism should not be a problem between churches and churches. I believe that what Pastor Alu is preaching right now is the truth. But people that we are baptized in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before, doesn't mean that they are going to hell. If you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you, you will make heaven. And the question I want to ask is this. There was a message I was listening to the other time. He said, Eve had sex with the devil. But according to the scripture, he said he took the fruit and he also gave the husband to eat from the fruit. Doesn't mean that it was said they had sex with the devil.
Thank you, Omodion Osas from Canada. Thank God you are listening to my teachings. Water baptism has never been a problem between churches. So, because of water baptism, we cannot have problem with churches. Omorodon, I disagree with you that if you do the wrong baptism, that you will go to heaven. That means infant baptism will take them to heaven. Sprinkling of water will take the person to heaven. It lets me know that you still have a lot to learn about the process of redemption. Listen, sometimes when it comes to salvation, we get very sentimental. If you don't know what water baptism is for, how will you know the importance? Water baptism is for the remission of sins. If your sin is not remitted, how can you ever go to heaven? Praise God. And don't think that we are just the ones preaching water baptism the way we are preaching. It has been on for years, even before William Branham's ministry started. There were people that were screaming to denominational churches that they were baptizing wrongly. They were calling them oneness. They were part of the Reformation period. Baptism, water baptism is for your sins to be remitted. If your sin is not remitted, how can you face God? God cannot behold sin. That's the reason he sent Jesus Christ to the cross on Calvary. The first step you take is for that sin to be remitted. And there is a correct way that God himself, Jesus himself, said, this is how you should do it. If you do it your own way, you won't get the result. You're on your own. Evangelist, first us, do we have water in the pool? Water are they there? Even today, once we close, we'll baptize you. Correct water baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We have taught that. Osas, concerning the serpent seed, there is no time now to break it down for you, but please go to our site in the website or go to YouTube/The Light Passion and you will see our messages there. Search for the message we preach titled Why You Must Be Born Again, or another one titled The Mystery of Iniquity, The Doctrine of the Serpent Seed. Get it. And we broke it down there to prove that that word eat there is not literal eating. They ate that time, there's something they ate, and God hated it. He hated it that time, and people are still eating it now, and God still hates it now. And it is not any fruit anywhere, it's not apple. Because we are eating apple now, God is not against apple. And they ate and they covered the mouth from which they ate from. Praise the Lord. And remember that the woman has two mouths that she eats from. Only the woman has two mouths. And if she eat from the two mouths, each one she eats, it will enter belly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it was symbolically used there, and we have proved in several scriptures. Even the scripture, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 20, that says, such is the way of the adulterous woman. She eateth and cleaned her mouth and say, I have done no evil. But she has eaten and calls her adulteress. Nobody ever she eat. You cannot eat a man, they will call you adulteress. Praise God. But that's not where we are teaching now. Yes.
Church, praise the Lord. So, sir, concerning what I was saying, that thing has been a body in my heart. Look, I came to realize that about 100% Christian marriage, 99% has problem. And my question is this. Like somebody that if someone that has married and wedded in the church, and along the line the person has problem with the wife, and the parents of the wife return the bride price back, the person, did he have the right to go and remarry or should stay?
Praise God. See, listen, it's unfortunate that we have to talk like this for Christians. Yes, it happens. They marry supposedly as Christians, and then after that, and most of these people, the churches even take time to do marriage counseling, take time, go through this counseling and things like that. But as soon as they are pronounced husband and wife, they forget all the counseling and drop their Bible. And before you know what, the marriage breaks. Well, in a specific instance like this, because of time, if they return your bride price, that is, they are telling you, let the marriage break. You have a Christian duty to always believe that, especially when you are sure that God ministered to you and you confirm this is your wife. If you believe in your gift, that God confirmed this when you prayed, or you know you love her, you are sure she loves you, then you will consider it as two fighting. Separation is different from divorce. The period of separation, you cannot marry. The only time you marry is after they have paid your return your bride price, then the woman goes to marry another man. Then she has broken the bond. You are now free to remarry. But as long as you're single, if you remarry, you are in sin. God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Matter.
Truth of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters.
There is yet another day. That is, His mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world, but not of this world.
Yes.
Praise Master Jesus.
Go ahead.
So, I have three questions to ask. The first one is, like yesterday when you were teaching on, that is day before yesterday, Thursday morning, you are teaching us on vows. And there's something I get confused about. And that one is, can somebody, you know, vow something to God by telling God, if you do so things, I will give you this. And after then, you know, you are believing God for that thing to come, and that thing is not yet manifested. Will God hold that person responsible? Or can the person said, okay, for example, the person can said, God, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. And the person is waiting for God to do that before the person to do that. Is there anything, any wrong before that thing now come to pass? And the person have what he vowed to give to God? Can the person still give the same thing before that thing manifested? That's number one question.
But obviously, I mean, let's be very logical. What is a vow? A vow is a promise to do something for God. A promise to do something for God. It may be a conditional vow. It may be just a self
will.
You know, you just will it. And decided that this year, from January to December this year, I will be giving so 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 amount for evangelism. Now that is not a conditional vow. But if you say, Father, I need this. If you do this thing that I need, I will give you this. Then of course you will wait. If he doesn't do it, you don't owe him. So he cannot demand it from you. But you say, okay, let me go and give you this. So that that thing will come to pass. It is a very, what you are now doing is what we call seed faith offering. Father, I'm believing this, and this is my offering I am given for it. But when you do that also, remember that there are certain things we ask for that may be contrary to God's will for us. And no matter what you give to let him say it is seed faith, he will not answer you. So you have to make sure that it's according to the will of God for you.
Praise God.
We should not be hasty. The Bible tells us not to be hasty in making vow. Let's pray. Unless you get so desperate that you can tell him, if you do this, I will do this. And God answers such prayers quickly. And if you don't do your own, he will deal with you. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
So another one is that we all have gathered here this night to eat, to partake from the body and the blood of Jesus, right?
Yes.
And you are talking about being saved and also being do correct baptism.
Yes.
Now what I want to say is, so many of us that are gathered here, you may be able to see that today may be the first time we've gathered.
Yes.
Is it necessary that we partake in this body and the blood of Jesus Christ? So that is my...
That's a very important question. Praise God. I've tried to explain this several times before. Listen very well. We have a lot of Christianity have been so misrepresented that people don't even know what is the correct thing anymore. Every church has her own interpretation of what is to be done. For instance, you cannot be a communicant until you have been confirmed in some churches. And some, when you are coming for communion, you come with baptismal certificate to confirm that you have been baptized and things like that. Now you have to know why, what is the meaning of communion service. You are saying, listen carefully, those hearing me for the first time, you are saying that you identify with the body and blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you, that made a way for you to have access to God. So you are a believer of the cross. That's why instead of going to a babalawo, you are coming to church. But unfortunately, you happen to go to a church where they did not teach you right on how to come to that Jesus. Now, but you have been praying in the name of Jesus. You have been receiving answer to your prayer, and yet you have not yet been baptized. Anytime you go to the Lord in prayer, I pray in the name of Jesus. So I want you to understand, is today your first time coming here?
No, sir.
You say in the name of Jesus Christ. What you are saying is, my heavenly Father, I don't have a right to come to you to receive anything, but I am coming because of what Jesus Christ did for me. That is the meaning of I pray in Jesus' name. I hope you know that is the meaning. Praise God. Anytime you say I pray in the name of Jesus, you are saying that I am not qualified. No, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. So you are saying that it is because of Jesus, what he did on the cross of Calvary. That is why I have access to you to come and I'm praying in your name. So if there is anything that will stop you from taking the communion service, which reminds you of what he did that gave you access to the throne of grace, if there is anything that will stop you from taking the communion service, it is the same thing that will stop you ever from praying in the name of Jesus for anything. I don't know if I've explained it well. So anybody that is here now, the only reason that will stop you from partaking in the communion service today is the same reason too that will stop you from offering any prayer in the name of Jesus. But if you pray and Jesus Christ, the merciful God, he hears you and answers you, then you are entitled to come and see the reason why he's answering you. As we remember the cross. That is the meaning of communion. But Apostle Paul says, let a man examine himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so let him eat and drink. Eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. We are talking about unrepentant people that act anyhow and still want to be associated with the body of Jesus Christ, bringing shame to him, making his death on the cross of Calvary of none effect. You take it in that estate, you are taking it unworthily. What is supposed to be a blessing to you will become a curse. Apostle Paul warned it. Warned also in the Bible. I hope I've explained that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The last one goes this.
2 Sundays ago, I took time in teaching this before our communion Sunday. So please try to get the tape.
Okay, thank you, sir. The last one is, for example, many of us came in here with our children that is under the age of 12. You know, they're not up to 12 in age. Can they also partake in the same exercise?
Yes. Bring up the child the way he should go. And when he's grown, he's old, he will not depart. What you are doing there, you are teaching him something. You don't just give him to eat the way you give him bread at home. You are giving him with a teaching. You see this? This is what this means. You see, this is what this means. You are teaching him. And when he grows up, he's of age enough to know right and wrong, he will give his life to Christ and he will continue. Nothing wrong.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, let's see. There's a message from Sister Grace from Spain. Say, Pastor, the only money I have on me is my tithe. This morning, light and water bill was brought to me to pay by tomorrow morning, and even threatened that they will disconnect me if I don't pay up by tomorrow. Can I use my tithe to pay for it? Praise the Lord. Sister Grace, I know you are only asking for the fun of it. Amen. Lie, you cannot take that tithe and pay your bill, because tithe is another bill that you must pay. It is a bill. Don't take tithe. Praise the Lord. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, Grace from Spain. Some of you ask very funny questions. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord, church. Sir, my question is about prayer. In Matthew, it says, before you pray, when you come to the altar to pray, and you remember you have a problem with a brother, you should leave that offering that you brought and go back to that brother and seek for peace. And if he doesn't agree, take someone, probably an elder, go and meet him. If he still doesn't agree, the church to still follow you to meet him. And if he doesn't agree, you now leave him alone. Now, that brother in question, is it my brothers in Christ? Is it the believers or the unbelievers that doesn't agree with the word of God as I understand? Or is it my siblings?
It is your brother in Christ. It's talking of us as a family, believers like this. He said, the last stage of it, if the elders go to him and he still refuses to settle, he said, you treat him as an unbeliever. So leave him alone. You cut off from him and leave him alone.
Okay, 2 nights ago, I had a dream about a brother in the church that is well known, having fornicating with a sister. And when I saw him, I told him no. And as I said it to him, that was when he now realized that what he did was wrong. And he cried unto the Lord. And in that same dream, I was shown 1 Corinthians 5 from verse 1 to the end. And where got me very confused was where it says they should deliver the body of that brother to the devil for the destruction of his body, so that his soul may be saved at the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know what is the destruction of the body.
Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where you were shown in the dream, was a case in the church at Corinth where a man was fornicating, took his father's wife. And it was the knowledge of everybody in the church. So it's not, and now he said he should cast him out. Take him away. That is excommunicate him from the church. That's where he made the statement, what, don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So that casting out so that the lump can be without leaven. But that man was not repentant. That is why they say, cast him out. So that Satan will deal with him. Why you cast out somebody? If you are a member of a church, there is a covering that covers you. There's a grace that covers you. That's why some people who left this church, under the circumstance that they left, I heard one of them was saying that I am a witch. That if you leave his church, you will suffer. That they started mentioning, can't you see this one? What is happening? Can't you see this one? Can't you see this one? They committed something in the church here. And instead of repenting, they carried themselves like this. And then they left. I didn't even drive them. They refused to change. There are others that left. They committed something, we drove them away from the church. Then they came, did everything to make peace. They came and begged. Then after we forgive them, 2 days after, they come and say, sir, we want to leave. Very wise. Then we blessed them, prayed for them. They went. They are not suffering. Because they left the way they should live. The Christians should live. Now, that is what Apostle Paul was saying. Cast him out so that devil will deal with him. Why he said so that the devil will deal with his flesh, but his soul will be saved. It's also a scripture we use to support, once you are saved, forever you are saved. Because he has received the Holy Ghost, but he went carnal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Apostle Paul also told them to restore him. lest Satan takes advantage of him. Then he added, for we are not unaware of the device of Satan. If not, Satan will use it again and do something else. The same Apostle Paul asked them to restore that man. So you have to understand it, that the essence of communication is for the devil to deal with that person so that he will repent. In the case of this brother that you saw, immediately you told him, he was remorseful. And that is what God wants to see in everyone. When your sin is pointed out, your reaction matters. While this one cried and knew that he had fallen, another one will have fought you. See, sir, what happened? They enter dream, they see me and they fornicate. He will start fighting you so that you will not tell anybody, say, you see for dream. That's the difference between a tear and a wit. And God will forgive that brother because he has repented. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
Please, I would like to know whether it's good for us to attend bad days or to send our children to bad days where they are doing bad days.
Bad day.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. If you do bad day, your children, they do bad day, won't you invite people? They can attend your own, but you don't know whether you can attend their own.
Okay, Pastor, where my question is it right for us as a Christian to do bad day?
To do bad day?
Yeah.
What is bad day?
Bad day is to celebrate the day you are born.
The Bible speaks about teach us to number our days. What does that mean? It's birthday to mark the day you were born. And it is not a doctrine, and there is no commandment against it in the Bible. And so whether you do it or you don't do it, nothing is wrong. If you do it, nothing is wrong if you don't do it. But I feel that when you God adds year to you, I feel you should recognize it and give thanks to God. And depending on how you wish to mark it.
Okay, Pastor. You see, like in the Bible, I have read the Bible, throughout the Bible. I read in Genesis chapter 40, where Pharaoh celebrated bad day. And that day he celebrated bad day, he cut off the head of somebody. I read in the Bible again in Mark and Matthew, where Herod celebrated bad day, he cut the head of somebody. And according to the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there is no place they say that they recorded that Abraham or anybody celebrated bad day. Even Jesus Christ, they didn't record he celebrated bad day. Even
talk to microphone.
Okay, even all the servants of God, Apostle Paul and all of them, Peter. If the Bible is important, why didn't the Bible record that any of these people...
I have just told you now. I say there is no commandment for it. Neither is there any commandment against it.
Okay.
But I just want you to note that ages are given in the Bible.
Yeah.
That Abraham lived so number of years. This one lived so number of years. How did they determine this number of years? Now, the fact that the unbelievers celebrated the cases in the Bible, Herod celebrated a birthday, cut off the head of John the Baptist. The birthday was not celebrated so that the head would be cut off.
But, Pastor, where my question is going is, why is it that only the two people that are unbelievers that are recorded as celebrating bad day?
The emphasis of those stories is not the bad day. It is the cutting off of the head of a servant of God that we are talking about. Not bad day. I also want you to note that You have to understand that, I don't know how I will explain this. Time has gone. But please, I still repeat, I am a Bible student. And what I must be careful not to make a doctrine of certain things. I said, when the Bible said, teach us to number our days, somewhere in the Psalms. I said, that alone lets you know that you will wake up today and say, hey, today I am so number. How old are you, sir? How old are you now?
Okay, 42.
When were you born? Which month?
January.
So you have been marking your birthday?
No, I have not celebrated birthdays.
Eh?
I have not.
But if I ask you your age, you tell me how old you are. It means you have marked it. Whether you celebrated it or not, you have taken note that today I am 40 years. You have marked it. And I know that you will offer a prayer. Being a Christian, I thank you for making me to be 40 today. You have marked it. And it is not compulsory that you have to call people to drink with you. And if your members of your family, I don't remember my birthday. It is my family that always remind me. And they will wake me up and then they will just come. Okay, the last one, they line up. Open door. And then I will see sleep. What happened? Hey, happy birthday. I said, not today. And then they prayed for me. You live long. Your enemies will not get you. They will not demolish your church again. That kind of thing. They blessed me. They prayed for me. Do you say it is wrong? They did that. Will it be wrong that they did it?
No.
So we are marking it. We marked it. God bless you.
Is concerning this thing, the first fruit. As in now, someone that haven't paid his or her first fruit because of lack of ignorance or the person didn't know. When the person realized, can the person go back and pay?
There's no more. You have finished the first fruit since.
No, I'm asking you a question.
Continue your tithe, that's all. Okay. The things we did in ignorance, God overlooked. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
See, I am obligated to teach the truth and nothing but the truth. That's what I owe you. Is it that we don't need money? This church needs money now more than any other church because of our condition now. So imagine, I say, every one of you, thousands of members of this church, here and abroad and everywhere, and I say, January, let every one of you, all your income for that month, carry come here. Abba, the church will get money. But that will be spiritual 419. That's wrong. Very, very wrong. There's another teaching that says if you owe God, you should pay with interest. Who has ever heard that teaching? It is a wrong teaching. Please get our messages and listen to these things. We have tried to correct the errors as much as we know that have been going on in Christendom today. It is wrong. That is in Leviticus chapter 27. It says, if you will at all redeem out of your tithe, that you should add a fifth part. That is 20%. What that scripture is saying is, if you have maybe goats, maybe a sheep, part of it is your tithe. If you have to give it out as tithe. You want to give out those goods or those whatever is the thing you want to give out. And you need it. You want to keep it. That is the meaning of redeem. To redeem it, to keep, buy it back. To buy it back. You are going to give it as tithe, but you want to keep it. The Bible there in Leviticus chapter 27 says, you will go and find the market value of that animal. If it is 100 naira or 1,000 naira, you will now, the price in the market is 1,000 naira, you will now add 200 to it. Because 1,200 naira, go and give it to the priest as your tithe and keep the animal. You have redeemed the tithe. He's not saying that if you are owing tithe, you should come and pay with interest. No. God does not take interest when you owe, because he said if you borrow money to a brother, you should not borrow with usury. You should not collect interest. So God will not come and collect interest because you are owing him. Any tithe you have not paid, look for that tithe and go and pay. Not with interest. God bless you.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Yes.
My question is based on prayer. There's this prayer that was uttered one day that said, nobody can stop the sun, therefore nobody can stop me. And another brother said, you are not praying biblically. Is that the question? Is should there be a specific way to pray?
Well, it depends on what he wants to achieve. There's no set way you must pray. But can anybody stop the sun?
Nobody.
So if you say, as nobody can stop the sun, nobody can stop me. He's praying, he's making a statement of faith. He's prophesying to himself.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Church, praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Sir, I thank God for your life. May you live like Methuselah. Amen. This is the type of church I want. Church that will tell you the truth. Thank you. And I thank God that I still know this church when my blood is still fresh. I thank God I still know this church when I'm not yet old. May the name of the Lord be glorified.
Amen.
So I have two questions to ask. Although you have touched it, but I want to ask it.
Okay.
To get more revelation in it. So the two questions I have is that number one, concerning the Holy Communion. Must you, John Church say, unless you are baptized in a mansion before you take Holy Communion, and must be in the river. If you don't baptize, when the church will be taking Holy Communion, you don't need to come that day. So that if you don't join them to eat it, that is number one. Number two, a brother married a girl, and when he went to the family, he opened himself before the family and told the family that he has no money. He don't have motor, but he has a future. As far as that the Lord liveth, that the woman he married will not suffer. But little did the brother know that the girl he wanted to marry has a problem, and the family hide it. It was in a church after the wedding. The boy went with the wife in the church. It was when the boy discovered that the wife was suffering from epilepsy. And that day was the day the boy came to church, the booker. I am now a complete man. The same day, they will say, you are not a complete man. And the wife fall down, disgrace the brother in the church. So, out of annoyance, the boy was seeking information from people. But because of the type of faith he has, he was trying to control it and even hide it from the parents. But what makes the boy to be angry is that the boy don't even know that the thing used to do her constantly. But there was a drug she used to take that prevented that thing not to do her. But eventually the drug finished. That was the day Anna Mung Babala. The eyes of the boy spirit the other day. So even when the boy left the wife with the mother, the thing began to happen in the presence of the mother. The mother said, "Oh." So the pressure was too much.
So what's your question?
He now take the boy, the gate to the father, came back to the church and tell the pastor, "Pastor, see what happened, oh? He don't, mother, he don't up by the pastor said, "My friend, he don't wear in the altar, he don't wear in the altar. Go back and carry your wife. It is for better for worse." And the boy now tell the pastor, "Marriage is not for better for worse. It is for better for worse in the sense there is no problem between them before the marriage. Not when there is stigma before the marriage. It's not for better for worse." But because the boy wants to make heaven, he now went to the father of the girl to pick the girl back. The father said, "No more marriage. Go and marry any woman you see." The boy pleaded. Went with many people up to four times in the village. They refused. What they did is to give the to bring the bride price. The boy refused to take the bride price. They take the bride price, go to the court and put it. After 2 weeks, the boy heard that the girl has married another person. Do traditional marriage, wedded. And he came back to the pastor and said, "Pastor, if this girl don't marry, will I remain like this?" The pastor said to the boy, "He will remain like this unless the girl die." The boy has run as no foreign corona. Joseph, if the girl died at the age of 80 years, the man will tell like this, no foreign corona. That is my question.
Praise the Lord. That's a very interesting one. Let me this last question. If you don't mind, what's the name of that church?
Redemption. Redemption.
Okay. Praise God. Redemption. I believe that that pastor is trying to him is staying by the scriptures. Once you are married, no divorce. But he does not know that there are peculiar cases that have to be handled in some peculiar way too. First and foremost, that man is a Christian that he decided to go back shows that he is a Christian.
That's why it is me.
Praise the Lord. You are a Christian. The fact that you went to back and you were ready to carry the problem four times and they refused and they did what they did and the girl married. Praise God. And the girl married. That is enough for you to be free to go and pick yourself another woman. Let me give you a scripture. Somebody help me open a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Can I read it from verse 1? He says, "When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband died, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, the first one, which sent her away,
may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord. If she hadn't married and she's just there, you will not be free to marry. Oh. But as soon as she goes to marry another man, you are free. Because even if that man say go, you cannot take her back. God bless you. Your first question you asked concerning baptism before communion. The proper thing is you must be baptized before you take communion. That's the proper thing. If you have given your life to Christ, it means you are a believer. He that believeth and is baptized. Baptism follows your belief. So, if not, if there's anybody here, you have not been baptized, immediately we finish, go and be baptized. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout, I have arrived. Say very loud, I have arrived. Oh, sorry. Another one from Iceland. Silver Osas. Praise the Lord, church. My question is about vow. When you are in a desperate need and you vow to do something for God to change your situation before that year runs out, but after the year, you made the vow, nothing happens. My question is this. Will God be angry with you for refusing to fulfill the vow? Did he do that thing that you told him to do? If he didn't do it, he will not demand it from you. He cannot be angry. In fact, now you should be the one angry with God. Praise the Lord. Can we stand up, church?